Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be reading verse 12. Out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Actually, I'm just going to read 9 through 13. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be seated. We were looking Sunday at the passage, Give us today our daily bread. And we looked at that Sunday, remembering that give us reminds us that we don't have anything on our own without God's provision. Even our ability to do work is a gift of God. Now, as we get older and we ache a little bit more than we used to, we're reminded, you know, that we had forgotten that the ability to move without pain is a gift from God. And the more times that we have to go to the chiropractor or take that Aleve or whatever medicine to alleviate the pain, we're reminded that even movement is a gift of God. Well, God gives us everything we need. And Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us even our ability to work is from God. And then it says, give us today our daily bread. Now, today is when we need that daily bread. It is to remind us, give us what we need right now, not what we need for next week, not what we needed last week, but what we need right in this situation. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, Paul is talking about knowing how to be content with what God provides. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. We need to remember that it is God that gives us the ability, the strength, and the provision. And then it says, our daily bread. Not give us what other people need. Give us what we need. And that word daily, our daily bread, is exactly what we need. Just the correct amount. And we look at the Exodus where the people of Israel were given the manna, which we looked at. Manna is Hebrew for what is it? And so when they went out and looked at the ground where there was little flakes there, that's what is it? And so it kept the name. What is it? Well, manna was given during the 40 years in the wilderness. And God said, everybody goes out, you get about 2 quarts per person. And they went out and gathered. Some people didn't gather the full 2 quarts. But when they got home, there was 2 quarts per person. Some people said, I'm going to get a whole bunch more. They only had 2 quarts when they got back. And God says, don't keep it overnight. It'll spoil. So, Sunday through Friday, if they kept it, it spoiled overnight. But on the Sabbath day, God said, you're not going to have any manna. You're to gather twice as much the day before. And every other day of the week, it got maggots and flies. But that one day a week, the Sabbath day, what they had kept overnight, didn't get maggots, didn't get flies, and there wasn't any manna on the ground on the Sabbath day. God provided exactly what they needed. And now we come to our passage, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, we need to remember, forgiveness is a Greek word, and it doesn't mean forget. It's athemi. That's not going to be on the test at the end of the sermon, so don't worry about that. It has various translations: let go, leave, leave alone, release, or forgive. In secular Greek, in the judicial system, it meant to release someone from an obligation. So if you paid your debt off, you use that word. If you fulfilled a contract and you were no longer liable to that contract, they use this word. Forgiveness is different than forgetting. Forgiveness, basically, in the spiritual sense, means never to bring the issue up again unless it benefits the individual. God forgives us. He hasn't forgot about our sins. It is impossible for God to forget. Now, we can forget. We can forget where we put our keys. I'm still trying to find where my keys went that I was supposed to turn in at the end of school for my classroom. All I know is the last time I used them, and when I got home to put them on my stand where I keep my school keys, they weren't there. But they did let me leave school that final day, even though I couldn't find my keys. It said you had to have all these signatures, and one of them is turning your keys. And that's a little disconcerting. I had to stay in the school building all summer, but they didn't make me stay there. Now, they're doing a deep cleaning this week, so maybe they'll find them and I'll be able to get that officially signed off. Well, God cannot forget. When we're told to forgive someone, it's an act of the will. It's not an act of the mind just getting old. It requires two steps. One, someone asking to be forgiven. Second, the granting of forgiveness. Now, we're told to forgive others even if they haven't asked. That means we're ready to give that granting of forgiveness at any time. And remember, it tells us the standard of forgiving is how we forgive others. If we look back to the beginning of chapter 5, we looked at the Beatitudes, and remember, these are attitudes that the Christian should have. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We need to have the attitude that we know we can't please God on our own, that we are spiritual beggars. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, mourning over our sin and how it affects God. Blessed are the humble, realizing that we have nothing to be proud about. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If we know our only hope is from God, we want to know more about what he says. Then it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. If we realize that we have nothing to offer God, it's all out of God's grace, then we will be merciful to others. And that's repeated here in this prayer, where it says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If we don't have the attitude of forgiving of others, then we don't have the attitude that we're shown in Matthew 5 to be a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean we're always perfect. No. We are a work in progress. We are being saved. And There are several different words in the Bible used for saved. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. I have been saved comes at that moment we ask God forgiveness and he gives it to us. I am being saved is we're growing more Christ-like. I will be saved means when this life is over and we are in what comes next, in heaven with God. And it tells us, back in our passage, and forgive us our debts. In Luke 11, the parallel of this, it says, forgive us our sins. There are five different words for sin in the Bible. The one used here is ophalema, and it means debt. And it's one of the five words. Harmatia is used in Luke, and it means missing the mark. So if you've ever shot at a target, take that bow, pull back, and you hit outside all the rings, that's missing the mark. That's harmatia. Now I've got to tell you the story. This guy was coming out to this barn, and he saw all these bullseyes with the arrows right in the center of them. And the person came up with, how did you do that? Can you show me? Sure. He took the side of the barn, shot an arrow to a place there was nothing, got his paintbrush and put the circle around it. That's not how God works. We need to hit the mark that God has. The other word is parapatoma, which is a careless transgression. It's not necessarily intentional, but we still transgress. We still broke God's law. Parabasis, that's intentional. We missed what God wanted us to do because we chose to miss it. And the fifth word is anomia. And that's flagrant lawlessness. Choosing intentionally to sin. So, where it's talking about here, forgive us our debts, it's talking about our debt to God, our sin. And Jesus gives an example of this in chapter 18, beginning in verse 21, about how you can be forgiven but not have a forgiving heart. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? Now, Peter might have been looking for a compliment because the Jewish rabbi said, you need to forgive somebody three times. And Peter's going, I'm doubling it and adding one. Seven times. Jesus said, I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. That doesn't mean count up to 490. That 490, first time, you don't forget, no. It says, don't keep count. For this reason, the kingdom can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. You know how much a talent is? 6,000 denarii. A denarii is a day's work for the average laborer. So this guy owed the person 200,000 days worth of wages. An insurmountable amount. Verse 25. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of the servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, pay what you owe. So this guy owes him 100 days' wages. He had just been forgiven 200,000 days' wages. Verse 30, but he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father will do this, to you, unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. The person that had been forgiven the 200,000 days worth of wages did not have the attitude that God had desired. He was not merciful. He was not humble. He instead went out and ignored the gift he had been given, the forgiveness that he had been given, and was unwilling to forgive others. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is at a dinner, a banquet, in verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 7, invited him to eat with him. So the Pharisee, the teacher of the law, wanted Jesus to come eat at the Pharisee's house. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And a woman in that town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissing them and anointing them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner." Jesus replied to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Say it, teacher." Now remember, the Pharisee didn't say this out loud, but Jesus knew his thoughts. A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered, this is the Pharisee, "I suppose the one he forgave more." "You have judged correctly," he told him. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who were at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sin?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, if you walk around in sandals on a dusty road, you get dust on your feet. Well, it was the proper, hospitable thing to do when you had a guest come into your house at the time Jesus is speaking. One of the servants would be there to wash off the dust off your feet. And then you would greet your guest with a kiss. And then give them a little Vitalis or something for their hair. A little oil for the hair. Just help it be treated. Well, when Jesus, it says we're reclining at the table, let me tell you how that was a little bit. The tables were down on the floor, and you laid down, sort of like on your arm, didn't sit in the chairs like we did, and so your feet were away from the table. So it wasn't that the girl crawled up under the table. They were laying down on their side to a little short table, and that's why the feet were away. Well, Jesus told this man, you didn't do the bare minimum because you don't realize the offer of forgiveness that I'm giving. There was another time Jesus was teaching us, and there was a crowd packed around. Four friends brought a man that was crippled, opened a hole in the ceiling, and let him down. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And religious leaders said, who is this that can forgive sin? And Jesus said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? Now, the answer to that is easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no evidence. If you say, get up and walk, and the person doesn't get up and walk, then they know your words don't have any authority. But Jesus said, to show you that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, get up and walk. And the guy got up, took his mat, and left. Jesus has the authority and the power to forgive sins. And back to our passage in Matthew 5. And forgive us our debts. We're asking for God's forgiveness, as we also have forgiven our debtors. If we're asking for mercy for God and we're unwilling to forgive others, we don't have the right attitude. But if we do have the right attitude, look at 1 Peter no, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are called to forgive others. In Ephesians 4:32, it tells us to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving others. Forgiveness, John MacArthur, I took a quote from him. He said, forgiving is the character of righteousness. If you have and are seeking God's righteousness, you will be forgiving to others. And remember, forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is saying, I'm not going to bring the issue up again unless it benefits you. Just a minute. Get a little feather. Forgetting is not what we're called to do. When something is done, we can forgive, but trust has to be rebuilt. There's a difference. Forgiving doesn't mean I'm going to trust you with everything again. That man that forgave the 200,000 days' wages didn't say, well, here, let me loan you another 100,000. No. He forgave him the debt, and the guy went off. And just the thing where he said he found somebody that owed him 100 showed that he didn't have any more money to do anything with. Forgiving, trusting, we need to have the right attitude. Be willing to forgive. Stand with me for our closing prayer. God, thank you for your gracious mercy, your forgiveness that you pour out on us. let us practice your forgiveness on all we encounter, recognizing the debt you have forgiven of us. Let us forgive the minor debts that others owe us. In Jesus' name, amen.